from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And is stalking Trump. So what do you do? Well, the higher-ups in the Secret Service tell his regular security detail not to ask for any additional security. Why? Because they had heard they were going to ask for additional security. They didn't feel it was secure enough. They told him not to do it. That was the scandal last week. Scandal of the week before, the CDR team, which normally goes out there, secures the site, draws the perimeter, would have been the ones who were there before Trump started speaking, would have been the ones who would have arrested Thomas Crooks the first time he showed up with the rangefinder. Instead, they weren't there. That was a scandal the week before. We're finding all this out from whistleblowers. Lee, scandal the weeks before that was to how they turned down every possible security protocol, including the drone that the police wanted to lend them that would have not only spotted the shooter, but neutralized him. Nope, don't want to use that. Then we learned the FBI was involved in the planning of the Butler rally from a FOIA that asked that they turn over all their communications. They're refusing. In fact, it was secret they were involved in the planning. Oddly, the FBI director didn't mention it when he testified before Congress. And now it gets even weirder, Lee. Because remember, we initially learned Trump's regular security team, the experienced one, the one that was trying to get extra security for him but was told not to request it for the Butler rally specifically. That security team, the one that was told, hey, you know what? Y'all have been working for 7 days straight. Why don't you take the weekend off? Why don't you just go home? We'll take care of it. The agents they brought in to replace them weren't even Secret Service agents. This is why it became a meme online that they didn't even know how to holster their guns.
Yeah, that was disturbing to say the least.
Well, now we know why, again, from whistleblowers who've come forward to two members of Congress. One of them is Senator Josh Hawley, who broke this last night on Jesse Waters on Fox News.
So what now are we hearing from whistleblowers, Senator?
Well, what I've heard tonight, Jesse, is that most of the agents who were there at that rally in Butler were not Secret Service agents. They were, in fact, Homeland Security agents. And get this, most of those Homeland Security agents, the only training that they received was an online webinar, a 2-hour online webinar. And I'm told that about half the time, the sound to the webinar didn't even work. So think about this. The president of the United States, former president of the United States, Donald Trump, is sent out on stage. Most of the people there aren't trained. They're not qualified. They only got a webinar training, and even that didn't work. It is absolutely outrageous.
I mean, it almost sounds like they're trying not to do this right. Right, Tara?
That's, I mean, gosh, you put all this stuff together. It's shocking. Hawley continued.
That's exactly right. I'm told that actually agents, Homeland Security agents, were pulled off of child exploitation cases, child endangerment cases, the stuff they normally do. They don't normally do protective detail work at all. They were pulled off those cases, said, here, you're going to go guard the former president of the United States. Watch this webinar. Oops, it doesn't really work. Oh, that's all right. Go out into the field anyway. Jesse, this is a nightmare. And we still have no answers. The only reason we know this stuff is because of whistleblowers. It's outrageous.
That is
wow.
You know, I can think of a sports analogy here. If a NASCAR team has a pit crew member that is injured and or for whatever reason can't show up, they don't just go down to the local, you know, mechanic shop or tire store and say, hey, you want to come change tires on a NASCAR race car this weekend? No, they go to the Xfinity team, the series below that, or maybe the trucks series or whatever. They get experienced people who are have experience doing that specific job on a high level to make sure that it's done right and properly. Apparently, that's not good enough for government work, though.
Think about this for a minute. The seminar, 2-hour seminar on how to be a Secret Service agent and protect President Trump, conks out halfway through. So they don't even get the whole seminar, but they're sent out anyway. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
You do it because Trump's regular team would have recognized the security, the massive security gaps. They would have known something was wrong. A person who's had 1 hour of a 2-hour webinar on how to be a Secret Service agent, now go protect the former president of the United States from an Iranian assassin, who we know was in the country because they told us about it, they wouldn't notice the security gaps, Lee. They wouldn't be alarmed. They wouldn't know to be alarmed. They wouldn't notice the advance team wasn't there. They wouldn't notice that the prime spot from which to shoot the president was not secure. They wouldn't think anything of seeing a guy up on the roof just casually walking around unafraid. And you can see him. You know that video over Trump's shoulder? Yeah. There's Crooks walking back and forth, preparing to shoot him dead. Ever so casually. As if he has all the time in the world and isn't worried at all. That's why he was walking around in sight of Trump. These people protecting Trump didn't know, Lee. They didn't know. They didn't know that was weird. Were they selected because of that? Is that why Trump's regular team was told, hey, y'all have worked for 7 days straight. Why don't you just go home? Why don't you just take the weekend off? Yeah, we know an Iranian assassin's coming, but we'll just show these people a webinar and send them in, even though it conks out halfway and you only get 1 hour out of the 2 hours. Is that incompetence? Or is that what you do when you need people who look like Secret Service agents to play the part, but you need people who won't actually know that you've insecured and unsecured the rally? You want people who won't notice Crooks walking around with the rangefinder because they've never worked in event, Lee. You need super duper untrained people, desk people, people who normally sit at a desk and investigate kiddie porn cases. And good, I mean, I'm glad they do, because they won't notice Crooks. When Crooks is going to be so obvious that local law enforcement after local law enforcement after local law enforcement flipped out over him. They're following him. They're leaving their posts. They're leaving their posts where they're supposed to be handling the parking of cars, going, dear God, this guy's suspicious. I can tell by looking at him. You need agents so out to lunch on the job they're doing, they won't notice any of it. Is it incompetence? I don't know. Doesn't look like it to me.
Well, there sure were a lot of people around that area that were pointing this out while it was going on. there were not Secret Service or federal agents.
But how do you keep those untrained agents from knowing something's wrong even then? Oh, the radios. That's right. You make sure that local law enforcement can't contact them on the radios. Jesse Waters laid all of this out last night when he was asking all these questions. Like, this just doesn't make any sense.
Why the Secret Service turned down a drone? Why they never pick up the radios they were supposed to use to communicate with locals with? Why wasn't the Wi-Fi working that day? Why wasn't there a counter sniper team on the roof? And why aren't the FBI and Secret Service cooperating with congressional investigators?
About that, the headline this morning, this is a second scandalous story in the UK Daily Mail, world headline, as it should be in America, which is how you know this is a huge story. We black out the biggest stories. Our media does. The exception of Fox News, they're talking about it. Headline story in the world. UK Daily Mail could cover anything anywhere in the world, and they do every day. The FBI lied in their timeline for the shooting. The second time the UK Daily Mail has leveled that charge at the FBI. Not the first. Their timeline was fake. UK did in the article, if you want to look it up, bombshell congressional report on Trump assassination attempt reveals who really took the first shot at Thomas Crooks. So Representative Clay Higgins using whistleblowers. I don't know why you need whistleblowers. I don't know what the big secret is. I don't know why you have to be a whistleblower. A preliminary report from Representative Clay Higgins offered a differing narrative to the official one pushed by the FBI. Well, it was initially claimed by the FBI that Crooks was shot in the head within seconds by a Secret Service sniper. Higgins' reports claims it was actually a local SWAT operator who stopped the gunman's hail of bullets. The congressman said the local cop shot hit Crooks' rifle and fragged his face, neck, and right shoulder area from the gun stock breaking up. That's why Higgins wanted the autopsy. He wanted to see the body. Because the body proved the FBI and Secret Service lied. They quickly cremated it. Because he'd been injured by the fragging, Crooks was unable to keep firing before he was killed, and then he was shot by the Secret Service sniper. Coming up, I'm going to play it for you. Listen to the Secret Service acting director lie to Congress, which is a felony. Lie to Congress about the sequence of events here, just as the UK Daily Mail is saying. Why would you lie to Congress about this? Because you're covering something up. That's why.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Little Credence. First time I played that for my daughter, she went, old people music. Now she regularly selects it herself. It's just good stuff. All right. So here's something you don't hear very often. What you're about to hear is a felony. You're about to hear a felony being committed by the deputy director of the Secret Service. I'm sorry, the acting director of the Secret Service was the deputy director. Same felony committed by the former director of the Secret Service before she resigned. Big fat liar that she is. So the thing is, if you lie to Congress under oath, it's a felony. Carries up to 5 years in prison. But certain people get away with it. Here's Jesse Waters last night.
But when the acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe testified, he made no mention of this local officer, gave his agency total credit for bringing down Crooks.
I am extremely proud of these actions and those taken by the counter-sniper team to neutralize the threat that prevented further loss of life. And I applaud the actions of our tactical teams that responded so quickly. The Secret Service counter-sniper neutralized the assailant within seconds after the assailant fired his weapon.
Why didn't the Secret Service chief mention that the locals were the first ones to get rounds off on Crooks, not the Secret Service?
Indeed. Why not? Weird, right? FBI director told the same lie under oath when he testified. Oh, it was the Secret Service. Yeah, they hit him first. Nope. UK Daily Mail headline, it's their top article today. The FBI lied in their timeline. Second time they've accused him of that. The first timeline the FBI lied in was the time timeline. They said that the Secret Service was aware of Crooks for 50 minutes before the assassination. No, it was almost 4 hours. Again, another lie. Folks, there's no way they don't know this. If the whistleblowers going to Hawley going to Senator Hawley, going to Representative Higgins know this, and they're going to them because they know the FBI is lying and the Secret Service is lying. They know. Why are they lying? I don't know. Jesse Waters wonders the same thing.
Why'd the Secret Service turn down a drone? Why'd they never pick up the radios they were supposed to use to communicate with locals with? Why wasn't the Wi-Fi working that day? Why wasn't there a counter-sniper team on the roof? And why aren't the FBI and Secret Service cooperating with congressional investigators?
Good question. Senator Josh Hawley wants to know that, too.
Yeah, all I can say is that is not what the director told Congress, and you just played the clip. I was sitting right there in the Senate when he testified that it was a Secret Service counter-sniper who neutralized the threat, that is, took out Crooks. He said nothing about another sniper, a local, nothing at all. Jesse, this is a pattern now. Why aren't these guys out there, Secret Service and FBI, doing regular briefings, answering questions, giving us answers? They're not doing any of that. They're hoarding the information. They're keeping it from the public. And this has gone on too long. I mean, people have got to get fired for this.
No, they do. Absolutely.
Yeah, they won't. Congress is a joke. Representative Higgins said the actual person who neutralized the shooter, a SWAT operator, local guy, who he described as a total badass in the report, fired at Crooks from the ground about 100 yards away from the AGR building where he had been perched. When he had sighted the shooter, Crooks, he was as a mostly obscured by foliage moving target on the AGR rooftop, he immediately, listen to this, left his assigned post and ran toward the threat. This guy's a hero. He should be doing interviews everywhere. He should have a book deal. We don't even know his face. It's all very secret. The congressman noted that the officer ran into Crooks' possible line of fire and took a very hard shot that struck the end of Crooks' rifle, destroyed the gun's functionality, but part of the gun exploded, basically embedding itself, fragging itself into his face and shoulder, and that's what stopped him from firing again. Then the Secret Service sniper, shooting from a still unknown location, it's all very secret, wasn't on the roof. Although the FBI let us think it was the guys on the roof. So did the Secret Service. It wasn't. You know why they're hiding that, by the way? You know why that's a secret? Let me tell you what we're going to find out. I'm just a guess. I just got a funny feeling. We're going to, when we finally find out the location from which the Secret Service sniper took out Crooks, we're going to find out he had an unobscured view and watched him the whole time. We're also going to find out he was denied his request to kill him. We're going to find out they let this happen. That is why we do not know the name of the person who managed all this. That is still a state secret, although I'm hoping someone will leak it soon. Folks, can I bottom line this for you? These same crooked people have gone from trying to put Trump in prison to trying to get him assassinated. They have. They just moved on. I mean, look, there's no repercussions for the prison part. So, hey, why not? Who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? It's what's happening. Now, put this together with the absolute astounding bombshell news broken by John Solomon, former investigative reporter for TheHill.com, the only one to get the Russia collusion hoax correct from the beginning. What did he say? Well, the Iranian assassin didn't exactly sneak in here. His visa was approved using a rare Homeland Security category. His visa was approved by the FBI. Which is, like, weird, because the FBI lied about that, too. Back in April, they put out an urgent bulletin. We are looking for an Iranian-backed assassin who wants to kill Donald Trump. Oh, we're looking high and low. He might come from Guatemala. Or perhaps Venezuela? Speak Spanish. If you see him, let us know because we want to catch him. No, they didn't. No, they'd approved his visa, even though he was on the terror watch list. Met him at the airport. Did they lose him? No, they let him go. And then when his visa expired and he became an illegal immigrant, they didn't bother to pick him up. In fact, they wouldn't bother to pick him up again until the day before the Butler rally, when he was strangely leaving the country. He didn't come here to kill Trump himself. He came here to hire people to kill Trump. Like the first Iranian assassin that came in 2021. There were two of them, actually. That's what they do. They hire someone. They don't do it themselves. So the FBI basically brought in the Iranian assassin Yeah. Who picked, out of all 365 days to fly out, the very weekend of the Butler rally. Gets arrested by the FBI. They still got him. The FBI doesn't tell us they arrested him for a month. Oh, by the way, we got the Iranian assassin. Yeah, we did. We got him. When? Oh, a month ago. Excuse me? Oh, a month ago. You didn't mention it? No. Okay. Folks, you thought the JFK assassination was weird? This tops them all. Folks, there are going to be movies made. Well, never mind. There are going to be movies censored about this and everything. I can't believe J.D. Vance actually said it. Which is good, so I can talk about it some more. If you follow my Battleground America podcast, you can get it anywhere you find podcasts. You know this. You know we're going to war on the battlefield with Russia. I'm scheduled for 2025. And then only if Kamala wins. But we're going. First, Germany leaked the war plans. Oops. There's someone in a German military. Thank God for that. You weren't supposed to know till later. Then the Prime Minister of Slovakia, who's a member of NATO, came out and said, listen, I go to all these meetings. They're planning a ground war with Russia in Ukraine with U.S. troops on the ground leading the fight for 2025. Weird, because that's what the German war plans show. They were oddly specific month to month, including where the soldiers would be and all that. Within just 2 weeks, he was almost assassinated. It took 5 bullets, which might have been a coincidence. I don't know. But when he came out and said, look, we've got to stop them. They are going to start World War III with Russia. Forced us and the UK to come out and deny. Us. No, World War III, shoot. No, we'd never do that. But France didn't deny, wordly. They're NATO members, too. In fact, Macron doubled down and said, yeah, in fact, we'd like to already go ahead and put our soldiers in first, 25,000 of them. Now you go. Suddenly, all these countries in NATO started talking about, in their local media, the draft. I've been watching all of this. Now, we would need to pony up something, too. They would need some sort of assurance from us that we were on board, right? For all of them to go forward. Take the political hit on reinstating the draft and all in Europe. And they got that go-ahead from the Joint Chiefs. I don't know, Charles Brown, if you've been paying attention to what he's been saying. You should. It's really scary. He said, well, you know, U.S. military has been training all of these Ukrainian soldiers in countries near Ukraine, but we think we want to start doing the training in Ukraine. Well, where in Ukraine? No, on the front lines. Why? Because. Reasons. And then he said, oh, by the way, yeah, we'll most assuredly end up doing this, but this is not right now, but definitely in the future. He means after the election. Okay. He said, yeah, we're going to send the Air Force too, because they're going to have to protect our trainers, you know, the ones on the front lines. Well, if you're sending your Air Force, and the only other Air Force in the air is the Russian one, we're going to war. We're going to fight in the air. But how will we do that? With a diminished military. And the answer's obvious. They're just not going to tell young people before they vote for Her Highness. They're going to bring back the draft. And they're already preparing the sheeple for it, the left. I know it sounds crazy, but how are you going to hold World War III and enrich all the donors who gave you all the campaign contributions if you don't have forces on the ground? We need forces on the ground. Those guys won't get rich. They don't have a war right now, and they're kind of going nuts. Now, they got used to getting rich. Got used to getting rich in Afghanistan and Iraq. They need Americans on the ground. Because then you can't run the supply lines. You can't run the medevac. You can't get rich. So we need to put Americans on the ground in a war with Russia because who knows why? Reasons. Democracy, I don't know. some stupid reason. And I can't believe J.D. Vance actually said it, but he did in an interview with Laura Ingraham, admitted where we're going, actually spoke a truth aloud. That's normally not allowed to happen. Here he is yesterday.
Are we not getting ourselves into a position under this type of woke leadership of our needing a military draft because of their policies and their handling of the military affairs in general in our country?
And we really are on the brink of serious readiness issues because nobody wants to put on a uniform and serve in Kamala Harris's military. This is a person who wants the United States Army to be about gender, inclusion, ridiculous diversity politics instead of about serving your country and uniting together as Americans to serve on the same team and defend your nation. She's also, by the way, Laura, a person who wants to blunder us into World War III. And of course, it's not her family that's going to be fighting that war. It's going to be working and middle-class kids across the state of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So if you're a person thinking about joining the military, you're probably not going to want to sign up if Kamala Harris is the potential commander-in-chief. We know that we can have a strong military. We just need strong leadership, Laura. And I think that if we want to fix that recruitment problem, the best thing we can do.
Hear that? Draft? Which is weird, because you'd think it'd be us pushing the draft, like our side, but we're not. No, it's left. You should read Vox.com. How the U.S. military started running short on recruits. Coverage of the wars in Ukraine and Gaza is mostly dominated by talk of weapons, but conflicts are proving that modern war still comes down to people and they need some. They write, though U.S. weapons and munitions have been critical to Kyiv's war effort, its territorial militias and hastily trained citizen soldiers who helped save Ukraine, but we're running out. Oh, no. They use the term draft 5 times in this article as they justify it to their sheeple. America did away with the draft 51 years ago, but we might have to bring it back. Well, why? We're not in a war. Unless one's scheduled, like the Slovakian prime minister said. That true? Macron seemed to think it was. He didn't deny it. Germany seems to think it is. They have specific details for where our troops will be each month in 2025 in the war. The United States, liberal Vox writes, the United States got through 2 foreign wars with Iraq and Afghanistan with the ABF, all volunteer force. But a war with Russia, China, Iran, or North Korea would be an entirely different proposition, with the possibility of many more casualties. In just a few weeks, then the United States suffered the entire global war on terrorism. Okay, cool. So it's going to be bloody. Who's going to go? I don't know. They're going to draft. They're getting them used to this idea. You hate Russia, right? You probably don't even know why you hate Russia. I don't even know why we hate Russia. I don't like Russia, but Russia hasn't done anything to me. But we got to go fight them. Why? Because democracy. Okay. How about we just send France to fight them? France could go fight them. UK, it's their backyard, not my problem. I'd prefer to, you want to fight somebody? Let's go fight the cartels. Let's do that. Let's close our border. That makes sense to me. And if Russia's on our border, well, we'll fight them there. Not opposed to war. I'm just want to fight our war, not somebody else's war. So now they're starting to talk about, well, you know, the individual ready reserve. Like maybe we could bring those guys back. For what? Folks, they know they're going to war in 25. Laura said it. J.D. Vance said it. Draft, 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 draft. And now look at this. The left is pushing it. I told you the draft is coming. Why are they saying this? Either they're planning to do it or they need to convince NATO to go forward with it and our politicians need to be seen pushing the drafts. One of the two. So they can get NATO into the war. This is going to get nuts if she wins, folks. This is going to get nuts. Texter writes, Texter nails this. Tara, if Crooks had been successful, the FBI would have trotted the Iranian spy out as a pretext for war. You bet they would have. Texter writes, Tara, this is a good question. If Crooks' rifle was disabled by the local officer's shot, it was. There's actually a photo of it. Crooks could have been captured. Oh, wow. Okay. If Crooks' rifle was disabled by the local officer's shot, Crooks could have been captured alive. Interesting that the Secret Service sniper made sure he couldn't testify. That is an interesting angle. I hadn't thought of that. Hadn't thought of that. Well, here's Southern Black Kamala, who would sound like this if she was raised in the South. It's how Black people in the South sound. Problem is, she was raised in Canada and California.
Let's just get through the next 64 days. How about
that? Yeah. Here's Detroit Kamala with that accent.
You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time.
And incredibly, just hours later, here's how she addresses white working class people in Pittsburgh.
Thank unions for sick leave. Thank unions for paid family leave. Thank unions for your vacation time.
Again, just a few hours earlier, same lines in Detroit.
You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member.
He has a largely Black crowd. This, I think, is the real Kamala Harris. On her very first campaign stop, where'd she go? The most important place you could go on your first stop in your presidential campaign. Of course, it was the RuPaul drag show, drag race show.
We are all in this together, and your vote is your power. So please make sure your voice is heard this November and register.
I think that's the real Kamala Harris, I think. But now everyone has to pretend she's not doing it, including Biden spokeshack cringe Jean-Pierre, who was asked about this yesterday.
Since when does the vice president have what sounds like a Southern accent?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
I mean, this is...
She was talking about unions in Detroit using one tone of voice.
Is this something that
same
you think...
Same line...
Okay, Peter.
That let's... She used the same line in Pittsburgh, and it sounded like she at least had some kind of a Southern drawl.
Do you hear the question that you're... I mean, do you think Americans seriously think that this is an important question? They care... You know what they care about? They care about the economy. They care about lowering costs. They care about health care. That's what Americans care about.
So,
that's what they want to hear.
Actually, no, they care about this. It's a top 10 in the nation story. Why? It shows she's fake. That's why.
Great. I'm not even going to entertain some question about the press. It's just hearing it sounds so ridiculous.
Well, but hearing it is...
The question. I'm talking about the questions is just insane.
Is that how she talks in meetings here?
I'm just... Peter, we're moving on. We're still moving on.
Uh-huh. Texter writes in the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307, as a multiracial person, I am disgusted. Just be yourself. This is why me and other men have left the Democrat Party. They spit in my face and tell me it's raining. Yeah. In whatever accent they think you want to hear, apparently.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.